He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge. I'm Anthony Irwin, today joined by Aaron Larsoul, as joined.
Yeah, we're live, okay. Though, right? Yeah, hold on.
We're live.
Yeah, okay, wait. Live. 905, not 805, the area code and the glorious beer. 905. I'm going to be 906. Subscribe.
Oh,
there.
Okay.
If you see me not looking into the camera, it's because I'm checking my screen and I'm not good at multitasking. Actually, that's not true. I am good at multitasking. I am subscriber 906 to the YouTube channel where you are watching this if you're watching live. So we need 1,000 though. Go be numbers
we're
907 through to 1,000.
The fact that we're creeping up in the middle of August feels like a nice development. So that hopefully by the time we get to the season we'll be at 1,000 and then we'll just take off like a rocket ship from there.
Like a Houston rocket.
No. They're more kind of. We got to see how they gel.
Are you telling us you're going to go start hanging out with Roosh and you're going to do a different show? Is that what
it's
going to
be? It's going to be more successful than an Elon rocket ship. How about that? That's something that I can promise to people, right?
Oh, how about this? Look, he has done a lot of damage to the platform, and he's. I was going to say probably, but definitely an awful human being.
Yeah.
But. Look, shout out to Elon, and I guess it's not Twitter anymore, because he is providing some payouts to some of our friends that cover the NBA.
I'm one of them.
That have been doing a bunch of work here, building up their platforms, kind of yelling into the void for a while. He starts chipping them out a little bit. So that is one good thing.
I guess that gives me the opportunity. I mean, like I've gotten some questions about it. I've caught some shit from it from doing this, but
from doing what?
From subscribing to Twitter Blue and getting my blue check and all that.
I mean, to be fair to you, you had it before.
Well, so here's my thing.
There are rumors about how you obtained it before, but
so much sex.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's sex for your ex, right? You've never, no?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Me neither. It's a made up thing.
What is that? No, wait, what is that actually?
I just made it up as a joke right now.
Oh, okay.
So the reason I was verified in the first place was because way back in the day, I used to write for like four different websites.
Okay.
You know, I used to write for Foreign Blue and Gold. I used to write for Silver Screen. Dodgers Nation. I used to do all kinds of stuff. So like... The original verification process used to be just like, hey, you go on there, you say, you make the case for yourself why you think you should be verified.
Okay.
At that time, I said, I'm writing for all of these websites, and it seemed like
examples
a good...
examples of such?
Didn't even have to.
You did this long ago.
Yeah, this was a minute ago. I think it said I was first verified in 2016. Is when I was first verified. So anyway, I've been going back and forth on whether or not, because I've never honestly, like when I first applied for it, I obviously cared. It was a cool thing early in my career that I was bitter.
I never had one. Yeah.
And then like over time, as more and more and more people got verified, it just like the glimmer, the kind of got rubbed off of the magic lamp. So I didn't care much. And at the time, initially, when people were actually like paying for verifications, I was like, oh, I'm absolutely not doing that.
Like paying either their connects at Twitter or outside entities that knew how to do the process.
No. Just recently when he was like making
people buy
blue checks.
And so $7 or $11.
Yeah. I said, like, I am absolutely not doing that. It is not happening. That is extreme fuckboy behavior. And then, you know, they unveiled this monetization thing, and I also launched a Substack. And just generally speaking, if you are not verified, your links that you try to link people to get suppressed. Like it gets lost to the algorithm. It got to a point where I would send a tweet about something I wrote and it wouldn't show up on my feed on TweetDeck. It just wouldn't show up there. And so I was like, look, this is hurting my bottom line. This is affecting the traffic that I'm hoping to draw to this thing that I am generating revenue through. So long as the money that I get from Twitter is more than it costs to be subscribed to Twitter Blue or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah. Is it X Blue now, by the way?
I don't know. I have no idea. But I that was the math that I did. It was like it helps with traffic and I make more money than it costs to subscribe. Yeah, no, so
it's a good business decision. There's of course the emotional intellectual cost of giving in, but financially it's a sound decision.
I'm not at a point right now as I sit here like applying for full-time gigs. I am not at a point in my life where I'm like, yeah, I can this just is turn not the down
place,
money.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is not the place for you to be taking stands on. Yeah. Yes, I understand.
Maybe eventually I'll make that principled stance.
Nobody follows me though. Nobody follows me, so it doesn't matter if I do it because nobody follows me.
I would do it for All Access Lakers. Like I would do it from there and then start tweeting out more from it like during games and stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm bad at social media.
Dude, this is all taken away from where I actually wanted to start the episode. Okay, by the way, today we are going to talk about Pau Gasol. I want to talk a little bit about Dwayne Wade versus Paul Pierce and the back and forth that they have thrown at each other. But I really need to start the podcast today with one of the wilder driving stories I have ever had.
Okay.
Insane.
All right, I'm with it. Let's hear it.
So this morning
should I get my unnamed cognac?
There's never a bad time not to. Like
you, I know that. I know that's right.
All right. So we normally on Thursdays it's Donut Thursdays. It used to be Donut Fridays for Avery, but she goes to school on Fridays, and we don't get to sit there and eat the donuts as a family.
Let's be real about this. It's donut every whenever I bet against the Lakers last night. It's donut day.
We got a full dozen today, baby. So we
did Anthony earn dirt money to buy his family donuts day.
Is it possible to have dirty money if it is going to family donuts?
Yes,
it is not possible.
Not all money is good money. That's the first. That's how I know you're not a domino player. You don't play bones because the number one rule is not all money is good money.
Yeah, I know. But again, as we just talked about 30 seconds ago, I am not at a point in my life where I can.
You can't be a principled man all the time. I understand. And by the way, look, not all money is good money. And betting on the Clippers to beat the Lakers is dirty money.
Yeah.
But if there's a way to wash dirty money, if you're going to be in the money laundering business, buying donuts for your adorable daughter is probably the best you can do.
That's what I'm saying. All right. All right, so I'm on my way. So normally I would be out getting donuts for everybody, but today Avery's stomach has been kind of acting up, so we were getting something a little milder, and I was able to take my time because I left the house a little early. And so normally out here they have everything out here basically where I live is a toll road. Everything. Mm-hmm. Like if I want to get anywhere, it costs me like $2 every time I like drive down to Costco. It costs $2 additional. So today I was like, you know what? Let's just see how much longer it takes.
Take the streets.
And see what else see what else I see taking the side streets.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad I did. Because good God. I'm at a stoplight and there's a Honda Pilot behind me. It was like that forest green Honda Pilot. And I'm looking at my rear view, and I'm like, man, that is a really realistic puppet that I see in the front seat. Like crazy. All right. So there's the driver's side, obviously, that is like an adult, and sitting next to him is his wife, I would presume. Okay. And the wife is holding this like extremely realistic looking puppet in the front seat of Honda Pilot. And then the the puppet turns its head on its own, and I'm like, hold on. And I look a little closer.
Hey, first of all, a puppet doesn't turn its head on its own.
I know. But that's what I'm saying is that's what caught my attention.
You don't see the mechanism of however this is happening.
Yeah, right. I don't see, like I look up, I'm like, well, that's maybe it's a ventriloquist thing, you know, where like, but why would the wife be talking as the ventriloquist?
Because like, white people are strange.
This was not a white family.
I don't believe you.
No, it was of Asian descent.
All right.
All right. So I look up and
strange, but go ahead.
And I see this what I thought was a doll turn its head to, you know, back to the driver, and I'm like, oh my God. They're driving with a baby in the front seat of the car, like holding the baby in the front seat of the car out on side streets.
Okay.
And I'm like, look, when we go, because we wind up, especially like right now where we've had 30 straight days of 100 plus weather, we take the Palisade down to the pool and on our way driving there, because it's like a 1 minute drive, we never leave our neighborhood. Avery will sit on either my lap or Jen's lap, or she'll stand on the middle console and stick her head up through the sunroof, right? That's only in that instance.
If what about Miles? Leaving,
huh?
What about Miles? He's in the seat.
You just
leave him at the house. He doesn't get to.
There are some days. It's been so hot here that it is legitimately unsafe to take Miles to the pool. That's how insanely hot it is, and my stupid neighborhood refuses to do what it takes to, you know, cool the water down below like 95, and it's just like it's not safe for.
Not a lot of relief there.
No, we stopped going to the pool. So we as soon as I leave, if I'm going to leave the neighborhood, I take my kid and put them where the kids belong, right in their seats, strapped down. In the things that are like built to protect these kids, not in the event that like I am a bad driver, I'm a good driver, but in the event that like somebody else out there is a moron. And trust me, out here in Texas with all the construction that's going on, there are a bunch of giant ass trucks with idiot drivers who just refuse to acknowledge that they're driving a giant ass truck, not a Fast and the Furious Honda Civic. Like it is wild to me that this person took their kid and had them sitting in the front seat. So I'm like, man, what do I don't want to snitch. I don't want to call like the police or anything like that. I don't, dude.
Why? How is that even a consideration?
Because this is so unsafe. Like this is like if Child Protective Services saw this, like they would have something to say about it.
Hey, okay, so, that's on them. Oh, hey.
Well, no. So hey. I wasn't gonna call. But what I was going to do, is like tell them, like wave them to the side of the road. I have both of my car seats in the back of the car. I was going to say, hey man, I don't know if this is extenuating circumstances, whatever. I will drive you where you need to go and have this child in my car so that this child is safe, because I know how bad these Texas drivers are out here.
How about mind your goddamn business? How about that?
Here's the thing. All right. That's what I was prepared to do. I was probably not going to do it.
Okay.
But then I am the front of the row at this one in the right lane.
You're like a stoplight or something?
Yeah. The car to the left of me in this intersection is a big semi. So I obviously, I get off the line a little faster than the semi.
Sure.
Well, then guess what happens?
I don't know, but this car, concerned.
This car that was behind me, again, with a child in the front seat, like flies by me. Okay. Just absolutely, this is the fastest I've ever seen a Honda Pilot go. Just, and I'm like, what the?
Wait, is this a puppet or is it a child?
It's a child.
It was a puppet at first.
I thought it was a puppet because like your brain doesn't want to get its brain, like itself around the fact that like somebody is driving with a child in the front seat.
Okay.
So this car is just like flies by me, and I'm thinking, all right, it has to be some kind of emergency. Well, the thing is, the emergency clinic is behind them. So it can't be that big of an emergency if they passed up an emergency clinic. And I'm like, also, if it was an emergency, like we just had an emergency. Miles is apparently allergic to eggs. So we had to rush him to the hospital.
Attaboy. Oh, I don't like that part, but the allergic to eggs part.
You sexually exist as if you were allergic to eggs, right? We still, even though it was an emergency, put Miles into his car seat and took him to the emergency. But still, I'm not going to judge if it's that bad of an emergency, like whatever. Thing is, though, they pulled into a 7-Eleven.
Hey, sometimes a big gulp, a Slurpee, sometimes you need one really, really badly.
And I'm just like, hold on.
Wait, this morning. Actually, I don't know. You know what? Maybe you need a lottery ticket or something. I don't know.
No, the lottery happened. Somebody in Florida bought it. But like,
wait, the Mega Millions? Isn't that only in California?
No, like somebody in Florida won the $1.5 billion, the whatever crazy Powerball was.
Oh no, it's Mega Millions.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But no. So I knew it
wasn't me, but I didn't know. Okay.
I had so many questions, and I really thought about like pulling off and walking into the 7-Eleven because I had nothing but time on my hands this morning. What? But I decided not to. I went to my Starbucks and I went and got my iced green tea lemonade or whatever it is, and I went about my day. But I have been thinking about that family ever since. I'm glad you did because that's everything I saw there.
That's a little too close to Karen Irwin for me, for my taste.
Look, man,
you don't need to be in other people's business like that. Let them go about the hey, man. That's between them and whatever deity you believe in. Like. They got it.
I'm guessing their deity is Doritos. Like,
hey, fair enough. Then Doritos will sort it out.
Like, I was so shocked at the behavior of these two parents. I need parents who are listening to this to get at me, get in my mentions, and tell Aaron how crazy this is. How fucking you actually insane you, so you,
I,
this
I see
was.
That you're not interested in my take on parenting. I can't understand why, but
well, sure. There's an important qualification to talking about parenting.
What would that possibly be?
Anyway, I needed to get that off my chest,
drinking Hennessy at 12:30 on a Thursday morning.
I'm gonna talk to Jen about this so that I can talk to somebody who can relate. Nah, you but that was insane. Their business.
That's whatever they got going. Hey,
I need people to talk to me about, like, parents to get at me about this.
Hey, I always have my niece and nephew in a car seat. I promise you that. But what other people doing? Hey, that ain't got nothing to do with me. Y'all go ahead. Y'all be easy.
We disagree. At the end of the day, I didn't do anything. Like they
the fact
flew
that
around
you considered
me,
it concerns me.
Look, man. I have a soft spot in my heart for children, I guess. That makes me a weirdo. Like, this child
was I'm just put, staying out of people's business.
Child was put in danger for the sake of some fucking Twinkies.
Hey, do you know how Slim Jims are delicious? And sometimes you have a craving.
It was like 7:45 in the morning, and this person was putting their child in actual danger.
Sometimes you need one of those dry-ass hot dogs that's been spinning for somewhere between 24 and 48 hours at 7 o'clock in the morning.
I was just, man, I need to know what they bought. At the very least, I need to know what they bought.
You want to go check, like, security footage.
I thought about it.
Remind me not to do anything even questionable in front of you. I'm sure I have already, but
you're sipping Hennessy at 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it's been a long morning. That's a little something. It's been a long morning or something like that.
Or a long night that led into the morning.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Pau Gasol. 18 minutes and 45 seconds into this discussion that was supposed to be about Pau Gasol.
Okay.
I am really curious. So I will talk, obviously, from the Lakers fan standpoint. Pau is one of my favorite Lakers of all time. He's probably higher for me than most. But
is it a nostalgic thing, or is it his game, or maybe both? Is it because he, like, kind of, I don't want to say saved, but, like, definitely saved.
It's a lot.
Not saved is too strong of a word, but kind of saved. Kobe's tenure with the Lakers and his desire to stay with the Lakers and helped Kobe get.
Should we start there? Should I? All right. Let me offer up the context from which Lakers fans are talking about Powell, because I think a lot of like general NBA fans think that Lakers fans overrate Powell, and I think a lot of Lakers fans think that general NBA fans underrate Powell, for a variety of reasons. And for me, here's how I will talk about Powell. Powell, for most of his career, was kind of the personification, him and Dirk, of the soft European player, right? That, like, we think Euro, we think soft, period. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his time in Memphis was somewhat disappointing by the end of it, right? Somewhat. I think at the very end of it, I think both sides were ready to kind of move on. And
well, as far as team success, yes.
He was excellent. He was very good. I remember to this day, the day that the Lakers traded for Powell, I remember talking to my dad and him giving me shit that he thought that the Lakers needed a 20-10 guy and that they traded for a 19-9 guy. If you want to know where, like, why I am the way I am, that's my father.
Fair enough. So, he was definitely calling the authorities on that nice Asian family going to 7-Eleven.
Anyway, so we all right, so. The day that they traded for Powell, at the time I was working for Men's Warehouse, and I had a BlackBerry phone. Remember BlackBerry phones? And,
I do. I never had one, but yes, I do.
The way that BlackBerry, like early edition BlackBerry phones, were extremely slow, and you had to like literally scroll and wait for like the next line of the article that you were reading to load, and you would scroll again, and it would just like, it was super slow to get information that way. Mm-hmm. On top of that, I was in Anaheim Hills, and the reception in that Men's Warehouse was not great. Fortunately, it was a slow day there. It was like a Wednesday afternoon or whatever that I was working there, and you get the notification and you get all the texts and stuff. Oh my God, the Lakers just made a trade! They traded, and And at that time, I was like, holy shit, they got Powell. Look at that. And, you know, this is coming off of somewhat the disappointment in the offseason preceding that, the summer preceding that, where Boston had just traded for Kevin Garnett. And, you know, there was a lot of talk that, and KG has since said that he wanted to go to the Lakers. He would, if he had a choice, just himself. If he was a pro now, he probably would be a Laker, would have been a Laker. Given the way that pros can kind of force their ways to situations now. And, you know, I was just like, man, Powell's good. Powell's really, really good. But the way that we thought of him was like, he's not Kevin Garnett, you know? And like...
I mean, he's not?
To be fair, he wasn't. Garnett was a greater player. But, you know, I was just like, you know, sitting there in this Men's Warehouse and getting texts. And I remember telling my boss, I was like, hey, Kenny, there's nobody in here. Can I step out and make a call really quick? So I called my dad and I was like, hey, do you know the details of the trade? Because my phone is loading this thing like trade asset by trade asset.
Yeah.
So I called dad and he goes, all right, so they traded Kwame Brown. Okay. Maybe a pick. Yeah, that makes sense. His brother, okay, and Javaris Crittenton. Ah, man, they had to give up Crittenton. I really liked Crittenton.
Javaris is, okay, yeah, let's skip over that part, but go ahead.
Well, we didn't know the person that Javaris would eventually become at that time. And he was very exciting. That the summer league that he played in, and then in the preseason that he had played in that point.
Was that in Long Beach?
Really fun young player. I believe he was coming out of Georgia Tech, if I'm correct, if I have that right. Or maybe Wake Forest. He was like a golden black school,
I remember.
Right.
Yeah, sounds right.
And so we, I was like, I guess that you kind of had to give up something. You weren't going to get him for nothing. And obviously now looking back, Mark was the far and away biggest asset gained by Memphis in the Powell trade. But still, it was just kind of like, there were two kind of lines of thought, trains of thought, right? One, this definitely means Kobe is staying because they wouldn't trade away, you know, their best young asset and an expiring contract and future draft capital for a player if they thought that Kobe was still like adamant about getting traded. After they made the trade, by the way, they asked Kobe, what does this do for your interest in being traded? And they had already waned at that point because Bynum was playing really well. Unfortunately, Bynum had just gone down or whatever. So you're like, fuck, we just convinced Kobe to stick around. And then Bynum goes down again. You get like a couple weeks or so, and then they trade for Powell. And then they ask Kobe about it, and he goes, why would I want to go anywhere else? They had their first game together, and it was just immediate how perfect a pairing these not just basketball players, but also human beings were for each other. And, yep. And it just kind of took off from there. So the fact that this was like the final thing that convinced Kobe to stick around and also helped him win two championships that nobody thought he was going to be able to win with the Lakers, given the trajectory of the organization at that time, like Powell gets a lot of extra, you know, weight. He carries a lot of extra weight with Lakers fans because of that mm-hmm. stuff. But also, I don't want anybody to ever think that Powell wasn't that dude, because he was. He mm-hmm. was really effing good. And I don't, like, I think Dirk is the better player. I know Dirk is the better player. Yes. But, like, if Dirk is on the Lakers for either of those championships, I don't know that the Lakers win those championships. Like,
I disagree with you.
Stuff at the center spot specifically and went up against Dwight and KG in back-to-back, final series. And I don't think Dirk would at that point in his career could have bodied up with those two guys in the way that Powell did. And I don't think Powell gets anywhere near enough credit for going up against Dwight at that point, MVP candidate, multiple time defensive player of the year in his absolute apex of his career.
Three in a row. Yep.
And Kevin Garnett at the pretty close to the
prime, but still in his prime. Late prime, yeah, but still in his prime.
Prime Kevin Garnett is who Powell went up against in two straight final series, and Powell outplayed both of them.
Look at you. Both all right. Them. So by the way, I just discovered that RIP to whoever the victim, Javaris, all that. I just discovered that he was released from prison in April. So, you know what's funny to me is, not that having nothing to do with that, but how that trade looks.
Terrible segue.
I'm not good at this. How that trade looks in retrospect, because at the time, like, the big thing was Stephen A, you know, the clip, which there weren't really viral clips in those days, but you couldn't see them on your BlackBerry. That's why there weren't viral clips in those days.
Yeah.
But it's become kind of viral now. And Stephen A talking about that trade, I think it was on SportsCenter, and him basically just talking terribly about Kwame and how one-sided the trade was. But in retrospect, it doesn't, because of the career that Mark had and especially his time in Memphis, it's less one-sided. The Lakers obviously still won. You win two titles and you never have to say you're sorry.
I forget who reported it, but the Lakers could have... It was up to the Lakers to decide who to send to Memphis, I believe.
Memphis gave them a list of a couple of people and they chose Mark, is what you're saying?
They chose Mark and the other player did never... I don't think ever came to the States. So, real bummer there.
I guess so.
Because they could have had Mark and Powell and Bynum.
So I obviously was a huge basketball fan in those days. I wasn't working for the Lakers. I was in Portland in those days. And so I knew of Mark, knew of Powell the player, but I was not a Lakers fan. So, but I've had a chance to meet Powell a handful of times in the last few years, and put the basketball part of it aside. Obviously, he was an all-time great, Hall of Famer, you know, top 75, all of those kind of things. But I've been struck by, and especially since Kobe has died, I've been really struck by Powell the human and how wonderful of a human and gracious and kind. He comes to a handful of Lakers games. a year, and obviously we had a big thing for him when his jersey got retired recently. Oh, maybe in March or April. When his jersey got retired. And so I have been, like, put the basketball aside, I have just been really struck by his decency, his kindness, and not to to everyone.
Yeah.
And how much
everybody thinks of, like, his relationship still with the Bryant family, but he is that gracious with everybody.
Yeah. He's just a wonderful human.
Yeah.
Just a really good dude. And obviously, again, I'm going to say it again, an all-time great basketball player. You know, was one of the first, you know, like, legitimate 7 foot one. He's not as good as Joker. Right. But in the ways that he is just such a massive human and can control the game, maybe is a little strong, but can impact the game in so many different ways. He was, like, he could put it on the floor a little bit. He could shoot some, you know, wasn't really a 3-point shooter, but he could, he had a little range on the jumper.
Developed it late.
Him as a passer. Like, he was one of the first dudes that was like, wait, this dude is bigger than every other center and, you know, can facilitate a little bit. But to me, it's like not even about the basketball so much. I am just, because I've had a chance to meet him now recently, or, you know, in the last handful of years, I'm just still just in awe of him, the quality of him as a human. He's the best. He's just, like, he's one of the best guys, period.
That's another part of why I have him as high as I do. So, like, my favorite Laker of all time is Kobe. Not groundbreaking there.
I don't think you're in the minority there, but
yeah, the guy behind me, in all of my stuff, twice, right? You have this one, which I actually really like quite a bit.
We can't see that if I can. Yeah, you gotta move that. Yeah,
yeah. So you can kind of see it there.
Yep,
you see that. And then also obviously the big drapery behind me. But so Kobe's my favorite Laker of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Powell might be number two.
Wow.
Like, I'm not talking about, like, list of greatest Lakers or anything like that.
No, just your personal favorite. Yeah.
My personal favorite Laker of all time. Also, like, I am Latin. He's a Spaniard, right? So, like, there's that aspect of it too. And like, also, the way that he plays the game is such a perfect extension of the stuff that you're talking about of him, the human being, right? He looks to make people around him better, and mm-hmm. he is willing to do absolutely anything. Again, when he got to the Lakers, the knock on him was he's a little soft, you know. Doesn't like to bump down there in the post as much as you would need your big to be able to do. But again,
but that was supposed to be Bynum's job anyway, right?
Sure, yeah. But then when Bynum wasn't able to stay healthy and you still needed Powell to be that kind of player. And also, by the way, when Powell played center, it unlocked a version of Odom that allowed those Lakers to play some of the prettiest basketball of that generation. And you know, with the way that they could do high-low passing, and you could have multiple passers out of the high post between Odom, Powell, and Kobe on occasion.
By the way, Powell and Lamar now would be an incredible front court.
Oh my god! Especially given that both could very easily and eventually did extend their range out to the 3-point line. You know,
yeah. And Powell's not going to put it on the ground much, but was a very good passer. Yeah. Lamar at 6'10", 6'11", was both a could very move good their passer feet. And could put the ball on the ground.
Yeah, both that could was, move yeah, their feet.
That was kind of a precursor, and it's not even small ball, right? It's no. not. It's skill it ball, kind but of it's not small ball because Powell is 7'1", and Lamar is 6'10"-ish. So
it was actually a
precursor.
The more that I say it, the worse it sounds to me.
Yeah, precursor.
Yeah. Precursor.
Yeah, I don't know why you're taking the E off of it, but...
Precursor. Anyway.
PRC.
Live audio. So it was actually... It came before and preceded what we saw from the Lakers in the 2020 finals, right? Where AD and LeBron as your 5 and 4, respectively... it was technically small ball, but it wasn't small ball because both those guys are huge human beings.
Well, also, and then Bynum's there like Dwight and JaVale as like actual just normal centers that are just
way better than both of those guys. But yeah, like at that stage of his career.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, for what he meant to the Lakers, what he continues to mean to the Lakers, what he meant to like him and Kobe's friendship, like my favorite clip of all time is after, I believe it was an Orlando game, Kobe is talking to him about a pick and roll that they ran. And he's talking about how like, how instead of at that time, you would, if somebody was going over this shoulder, you would, it was like they would knock you into your role, right? If as a screener, and if they hit your left shoulder, you turned with your right foot being down and you would turn with the basketball. And what that sometimes meant was that you would actually, one, let the guard over the top of the screen, and two, it would kind of throw off the timing there. But Kobe and Powell was some of the first times that I saw that they realized, no, actually, Powell, if you stay put and rotate, you know, to the direction that the guard is coming over the top of, it makes it harder for the guard to go, and it lines you up more perfectly for that pocket pass. And so Kobe and Powell like realize this, it, you know, live on the court, and then they get back to the locker room, and Kobe is talking about how, yeah, it was just like perfect. And we were like, you know, the clip is always of them. He has like this. I should have the clip handy and I'll play it. I'll grab it right now while you're talking. But just like that, that simpatico nature of their relationship was so effing cool. And Kobe always gets knocked and it was like at times a very selfish teammate. But by the time that he and Powell got there, not only do I think that they unlocked each other as basketball players, but I really think they unlocked each other as like human beings.